Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
A very interesting chat I'm about to have with Eugene Herbert, Chief Executive of Master Drive. Eugene, a very good afternoon to you.
Hello, Gary. I also learned that you've got a partner in crime.
I do indeed, Eugene. Say,
Robin,
say
hello. Good afternoon.
Yes, and Robin is my co-host and starting to get comfortable with the mic being in studio. And I think she's enjoying it. She's smiling at the moment, so I think she's okay.
Okay, good.
So, Eugene, thank you once again for making time to talk to us. I always enjoy our chats. And today, a very interesting chat. And that is, I've been noticing lately that there's just so many cars on the road. The traffic is crazy. We're not even talking about load shedding and traffic lights. Just the amount of cars on the roads. It's just insane. And it got me sort of thinking, I remember way back, and when I did my research, it was 2006 when they brought in that high occupancy dedicated lane, I think between Joburg and Pretoria. And it sort of got me thinking, what happened to it? And was it, did it fail? And why don't we introduce it again? And as we drive around, we see so many single occupant sort of cars, you know, just the driver. And I was thinking, well, what can we do to actually do something about this? Because petrol's gone up. You'd think that there wouldn't be so many people on the road, but yet there are. So I thought maybe it'd be a really interesting discussion to have.
Gary, just with regard to that lane, I recall it. I recall that there were more single-person cars on in that lane than there were more.
Yeah, that's right. I remember, and people commenting and saying this is wrong. Yeah, I remember.
But let me do this. I will undertake to see if I can find out what transpired, and next time we chat, maybe I can just give you some feedback on that. You know, because there's been new people there, so maybe I can get you some information.
I think it would be really interesting to just chat about it, because, you know, I've noticed in particularly Joburg, and we talk Joburg all the time, that there are so many cars on the road all the time. And one thing that I know, there are problems, you know, with transport, public transport and things, and Gautrain is expensive and things, but, and petrol goes up, 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 but we never see the amount of cars being reduced. And maybe that we can talk about today, because why are there so many cars on the road at all times?
You know, Gary, it's a question that I often ask myself, and after having chatted to a few people, particularly people who are aspiring motorists, because you and I have been driving for a fair amount of time, so we don't necessarily notice it. But everybody, or not when I say everybody, a lot of people aspire to have a car because there's a degree of prestige involved. And let's not forget that if you get your driver's license, it's a passport to a job. Now, typically, one of the first things that younger people will do, or previously disadvantaged, is with that extra money is go and get a motor car. And I think it evokes in the South African context a feeling of freedom that we can go where we want to, because as you mentioned, public transport is not ideal. It's probably quite the opposite. So at least when you've got a car, you've got freedom of movement. But getting back to why, how many cars, and maybe the time that you travel is not dissimilar to me, where they're single occupants. Now, I will take your bet that probably a good 20% of them are traveling to similar areas. Mm-hmm. And what's worse, in companies, you will find individuals going from the same suburb to the office block, and whether it's a company-owned car or their own car doesn't make any difference, but they're on their own. And I think that maybe with this latest increase, and I think it's just over 1 rand that December will go up. Mm. I mean, maybe there was a time when we thought 20 rand was going to be a lot for a liter of fuel. Now we're sitting at 25 rand or something. South Africans need, I think, a reality check. And part of that is dependent on persons like you and other persons who see this and say, guys, just rethink. And I think the area that we certainly appealing to, by the way, we're launching an eco-driving program. And another time I'll tell you how we're doing it. We've got this great technology that helps you achieve typical fuel consumptions that you would like. Because if we do that, if we carpool, and I think we've discussed that maybe it's worth a reminder, it's not as simple as saying you and I sharing a car. You know, if there's any, and the area that we have to be careful here is the insurance. Because if you and I are sharing a car and it's 1 week I drive, the next week you drive, or we alternate cars, there's not too much of a problem over there. But let's say you decide to pick up three of your companions and you charge them X amount. You could possibly be in contravention of your insurance, which may find that you're operating a little business and therefore it should be insured for business purposes and not for personal use. So if anybody's thinking of carpooling, let them go to the insurer and check the small print. Because the trouble is we find out after the accident or after the incident, and then we've got no motor car at all. And then the other thing that we need to think about is just being far more strategic. You know, we've often advocated, and I think working from home has proved the point. Let's be a little bit flexible with regard to how we engage with traffic. If you and I insist on getting into the traffic at 6:45 every morning, leaving at 4:30, we are going to guzzle more fuel. It's a given. But what about some flexi time? Leave before the traffic. Leave after the traffic. You know, there's enough means to keep us occupied, and you'll probably find, and I'll share the results with this eco-driving test we're doing at another time, if we can just reduce our fuel bill by 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your fuel bill was, but as a company, and we're not a big company, last month our fuel bill was 96,000 rand.
Wow, yeah.
10%?
Yeah, 10 grand. It's a lot of money.
It's enough to buy a cup of coffee,
yeah. it's enough to buy half a tank of petrol, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's one of the questions I've got, and learner drivers, how come in South Africa, are learner drivers restricted to driving peak hour? Is there a restriction?
Can I talk to you about two separate incidents?
Yes.
A learner driver, let's talk motorcycles, because this is where the real danger comes in. They can go get their license once they've turned 18 on a motorcycle of 200, in fact, even a 150cc motorcycle, and then they can get onto a superbike with that self-same license.
Yeah.
Now, does that make sense to you?
No.
Certainly not to me.
No.
But just going back to the other aspect of learner drivers who are getting into motor cars, that piece of paper is a license to be on the road at any time that you choose and in whatever conditions you choose. So typically when you've gone for your K53 test, it's done during the day in minimal traffic and all done within a certain area such as a built-up area.
Yes.
You never get to travel on the motorway where traffic is traveling at 130, 140. And I think it must be pretty scary for the first time to have cars come flying past you if you've only learned to drive at 60. Secondly, you've never engaged in the real world of traffic where taxis are cutting you off, where other motorists are purely inconsiderate. There's various signs that they're sharing between people with regard to what they should or shouldn't do. So it's a real daunting experience. There are systems in place across the world where there's a graduated licensing system where they can only drive at certain times. For example, they can't drive at night. They can't have people with them. And I know it's on the cards somewhere, but by the time you've lost the last bit of your hair, maybe it will be in place.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Eugene, unfortunately we're out of time. I always enjoy our chats. Today it's sort of just talking about the road, learner drivers, driving in traffic. And yeah, I think definitely, Eugene, we're going to schedule another call soon. And let's talk about some of the initiatives, fuel saving. I like the sounds of that. Eugene Herbert, Chief Executive of Master Drive. Take care, stay well, and we'll chat soon.